Good day, friends. It's good to come into your family circle once again with what the Bible teaches. And I do want to say the broadcast today is the final broadcast in this current series. We've been dealing with what God and Jesus has said, and of course we've gone to the teaching of the apostles because we understand they spoke as the Spirit gave them utterance according to Acts 2 and 4. And that Spirit was in agreement with God and with Jesus Christ. I want to say on the broadcast today that we're thankful to have you listening, and we're grateful to the brethren who make this broadcast possible. I think most of you know, as we told you from time to time, that we are an evangelist of the church, and we're simply preaching the gospel by means of radio, just as though we were in a church building in a series of meetings or a religious service. Now, the broadcast actually is sponsored by the congregations from different localities. These broadcasts, of course, are the tapes are sent to different parts of the country and are used time and time again in various circumstances. They've been used in nursing homes and hospitals and Bible studies. And we simply want to say that we have the opportunity being asked by the brethren to preach the gospel. So it's good to be with you. And I want to thank them for making this series possible. And we want to thank you for listening. And I hope you'll do us a favor telling your friends and neighbors about the broadcast. We're going to give this lesson today, the Lord willing, and we'll be back next time with a new series. I want to close out by going to the 16th chapter of Mark and reading what is commonly considered to be the Great Commission. In the 15th verse of the 16th chapter of Mark, "And he said unto them," Jesus talking to his apostles, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." In the 16th verse, what is included in this gospel, as Mark gives it, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Someone pointed out to me not long ago, they said, you know, in some manuscripts this has been omitted. And I've talked to a few people who seem to think that, well, this would show that baptism was not essential because it's omitted from some places. And yet the same person would not think that belief is not essential. You know, there's so many other examples that if it were true that this were left out of the manuscript, I'm willing to accept it just the way the book teaches here, but if we're left out, that they did go forth and preach the gospel. We find in Colossians 1:23 that Paul simply says it was preached to every creature under heaven. But I think the interesting factor here is that he says to go. And yet there's a principle in connection with going here that I think is woven throughout the fabric of the entire New Testament. Not alone do we have the command being given here, and it has to be looked upon as a command to the apostles to go, we also have the means by which they were to go. You see, in the world today, people seem to think many times religiously that we can't do anything without a super organization. I was talking to a young man who had been to a seminary, and I believe he was very sincere. I'm sure he received a lot of good teaching. But you know, he didn't think that they could possibly preach the gospel or teach the gospel or carry out the work that we were talking about the churches to do without some type of superhuman organization. So there have been started by many honest people, missionary societies, to do the work of the church to carry the gospel of the world. There have been teaching societies to train preachers, to instill the teaching of the Bible because people have felt that the local congregation couldn't do it. Now, these apostles were sent forth by Jesus, but we're also aware of the fact from the 13th chapter of Acts that they went forth from local congregations. So there's a lot that can be said on this subject on the broadcast today, but I'm simply going to ask the question, why were they told to go? Well, they were told to go to preach the gospel. You see, it is always through the instrumentality of mortal man that the God of heaven has worked to carry out his will. There are two good examples, I think, in conversion that point this out very clearly. The conversion of an outstanding Jew, Saul of Tarsus, in Acts 9, as well as Acts 22, and the conversion of an outstanding Gentile, the first record we have of a Gentile and his family being converted to Christ in Acts chapter 10. In the 9th chapter, it was Saul of Tarsus. In the 10th chapter of Acts, it was Cornelius from the city of Caesarea with members of his family. Now, in both cases, there was the intervention of God. You see, Jesus was there at the time when Saul of Tarsus was stricken down on the road to Damascus. You've read that in the 9th chapter. And we understand that Saul wanted to know who it was, and he said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. He said, what would you have me to do? Well, he said, you go into the city and it'll be told you what you must do. Isn't this interesting to think that the man who wrote most of the letters that we have in the New Testament, the epistles, God didn't tell him, or Christ didn't tell him directly from heaven, what do to be saved. So if you're waiting for a call from heaven, you better consider, first of all, that the Lord has already issued that call through the gospel. When Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, he was offering a teaching that was sounded throughout the world, but not from God from heaven, independently of humans upon this earth. Notice again, Jude verse 3, that we recounted to you and called to your attention on one of the other broadcasts. The faith, or the gospel of which it is called, the one faith, was once delivered unto the saints. It came to the apostles. It came to believers of the Lord that they might impart it to the world. Then in the 10th chapter of Acts, in the case of Cornelius, the first Gentile we have a record of being converted, he was told, after having a vision there, send men to Joppa, where he secured Simon Peter, who came along with 6 Jewish brethren, to hear whatsoever things God had commanded. So the idea was that these apostles were to go forth in the world to preach the gospel because men were in sin. Romans 3:23 tells us how serious the situation was and is. He said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when you commit a sin, how are you going to have that sin forgiven? When you become spotted with sin, how are those blemishes going to be removed? You don't have the power. I don't have the power. Men don't have the power. Human organizations do not have the power. But the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. When we obey it from our heart, Paul said in Romans 6:17, we're made free from sin. We become a servant of righteousness in Romans 6:18. So they went forth to the world to preach the gospel. That was the means, through the backing of the individual congregation of the Lord's church, they sounded forth the gospel. It was proclaimed to the world by the Lord's superorganization. Ephesians 3:21 simply says the glory was to go to God through the church, not through a human arrangement, not through a human missionary society, not through some human society that I would set up or you would set up, but the church. And they took the gospel to the whole world. Well, someone says, preacher, that eliminates the need for us to do it today because the apostles carried out the commission. You see, they did what the Lord asked them to do. And you see, if all sinners were converted to Christ and there was no sin in the world today, then we could say, well, we don't need to go. We don't need to tell the story of Christ to the world. But one interesting point that can be brought out is that Barnabas, even though he's referred to as an apostle, was never referred to as an apostle of Jesus Christ. He was not one of the 12. He was not looked upon as one even like Saul of Tarsus. But he was sent from Jerusalem in that 11th chapter of Acts by the local congregation to go as far as Antioch in Syria. And I'm led to believe that the same system as men are found in sin today is to be used from this perfect example, going forth to preach the gospel. One place that brings this out quite conclusively that cannot be limited to the apostles is found in the 10th chapter of Acts, or the 10th chapter of Romans. If you want to consider this, just write these references down or follow us as we consider them. Listen to the 13th verse of the 10th chapter of Romans, Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now that's wonderful. They can call on the name of the Lord. But then Paul asks a question, verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Well, see, there's an interesting question. How are you going to answer that? Then he throws another one at us. And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And this just simply conveys the idea again, through the human instrumentality of mortal men, that people might hear the gospel. See, the Ethiopian in the 8th chapter of Acts, one of the great accounts of conversion, he didn't hear it from an apostle. He heard it from Ananias. How much do you know about? Or he heard it from Philip. How much do you know about Philip? Well, you know that Philip was one of the 7 in Jerusalem in chapter 6. You know that he lived at the city of Caesarea. He had four daughters that prophesied. He was looked upon as an evangelist. There was Ananias in that ninth chapter of Acts that went to talk to Saul of Tarsus. Neither one of these men were apostles. But you see, they were humans upon this earth who had the opportunity of telling the story of Christ. And how shall they preach except they be sent? So we find they were sent from the local congregation. The wonderful statement is, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report?" Then here's the dynamic 17th verse. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Do you know, friends, that you cannot really have the faith that is able to save your soul from sin without hearing the word of God? You see, it isn't the case by you just saying, "Preacher, well, I believe there's a God." Because on this side of the cross, you can't even come to a fellowship with that God unless you come by Jesus Christ. Yes, John 14:6, where Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He also said, "No man cometh to the Father but by me." So we are saying that the apostles were told to go, and they did. And I want to say to you today, if you have ability to tell the story of Christ to others, consider the same principle applies in your life and my life. Let's go and tell the story. Let's not just wait for people to come. Let's tell them about Jesus. Then they can come and follow his marvelous teaching. Well, we're going to have to leave you on the broadcast today, but it's been good to be with you. I want to thank the brethren for sponsoring this series. We hope to be back next time at the same hour next week to bring you another program of Bible truth. May God bless us all as we obey his will from the heart with a sincere and a great devotion.